So the third Sunday of Advent, and the theme is joy. Walking in intimacy with God. That's really what we're all about. That's what we believe. And in 1 John 17, chapter 3, this is Jesus praying, and he's praying not only for us, or not only for the disciples that were with him, but for us today, later on. And here's what he says. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. See, eternal life, growing up, I've said this before, growing up, I thought that eternal life began once a person died. The reality is John and others in the New Testament teach that eternal life begins here and now, the moment we pray to receive Jesus Christ. The abundant life, Jesus Christ came and died to give us the abundant life. And in America, we think that means wealth and prosperity. That is not what it meant. Jesus did not die wealthy and prosperous and all those things. That's not what it means. It means to have intimacy with God, walking in him. And that can give us joy and abundance of life in every way. So at Buckhannon Alliance Church, we are primarily about walking in intimacy with God and simply inviting others to do the same. Walking in intimacy and inviting others to do the same, because that's what real life, the abundant life, is all about. Walking in intimacy with God and knowing him and deploying that light into the darkness. Believe me, all of us know people who are walking in darkness. All of us do. I don't care who you are, whether people come into your home or you go out of your home. Some of the people that come into my home to help with maintenance and things, they don't know Jesus. And I think this week there's an appointment for someone to come and look at my furnace. I will intentionally be there to pester the guy. I'll offer him food, Coke, whatever, and talk to him. I'll invite him out to lunch because I know he does not know Jesus. And in talking to him, I know that his life is empty, because he needs Jesus. So this third Sunday is the Sunday of joy. And already I need to catch up. The Grog family lit the candle of joy. And so where we're going to go this morning is we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're jumping out of our exegesis, working our way through the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to go to Hebrews for this Sunday for joy. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn to Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I also will project it, but if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to look in your own Bibles. And here's what Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says. And I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go back and just dissect it a little bit. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And so we're just going to look at some spiritual truths. If you look in the worship folders this morning, you're going to find all kinds of things. You're going to find an insert for restoring hope is in here. And they have different, if you're looking for opportunities to witness, to go and be used of the Lord and to serve him, restoring hope has things that you can be a part of. Please take advantage of that. Matt Bowman from our, Matt and Jessica Bowman from our church, lead that, and there's opportunities there. If you're looking for a ministry to help out other people, there is one. And then there's two sheets. There's the typical sermon notes in there. There's actually three more sheets. There's two full sermon notes, and so there's one for sermon notes for you to take and to fill in. The blanks are there. And again, on the back side, upside down and backwards are the answers in case I skip over something. And then for our congregational meeting, we're going to sneak right into our congregational meeting as well. We're going to do both this morning, Lord willing. And so, what are some of the spiritual truths? So you're welcome to follow along using sermon notes, or you can just follow the PowerPoints as we go. And what it means, anything that's in that font and underlined and in blue means there's a blank in the sermon notes if you enjoy following, taking sermon notes. We're just looking at some truths. A great cloud of witnesses. I don't know about you, but I'm not exactly sure what this means. Some people believe that all believers that are in heaven, I better not go down there because then you guys can't see me, but I want to. Hey, by the way, Omar the tent maker made this for me. I got a couple new shirts from Omar, and I realized that someone with my bigger gut needs a bigger neck too. So anyway, Lynette, she would be upset. If she can see this, she would be upset right now. Okay, speaking of great cloud of witnesses, I honestly do not know what this means, and I know that frustrates some of you because you think I'm supposed to know all this stuff. I don't know what it means. Some people believe that literally all of those who have gone before us are in heaven and can see what's going on. I'm not sure because I don't think Scripture is real clear about it. But for sure, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit see all that's going on. Three people, witnesses. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of encouraged me and scares me. Because every good thing that I do, he sees. But I got to be honest, I do more bad things than good things. Even coming here this morning, I didn't take a full stop at the stop sign. I rolled a little bit. I read an article once that said, thank goodness that America isn't totally efficient. Think about that. What if everything was completely and totally efficient? That 1 mile and over, you'd get a ticket. That'd be kind of scary. IRS audited every single one of us every single year in the name of efficiency. Kind of scary. Now, we shouldn't have anything to worry, but that would be pretty intimidating, would it not? So just this great cloud of witnesses. You know, I just, at times I think, oh my goodness, I hope Lynette's not watching this. I hope Lynette is not watching this because she would just come back and dope slap me. You know what I'm saying? Or when I get there, she's going to dope slap me. I'm not sure, but the reality is the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Oh, that reminds me. Anyone that sees Pastor Trevor today, please wish him a happy birthday. Because I saw his daughter come up and give him a hug and a kiss and say, happy birthday, Dad. And I didn't know it was his birthday, and he denied it. But then someone else wished him a happy birthday. So, wish him a happy birthday, okay? Back to great cloud of witnesses. Yeah, ADD. For the regular attenders, ADD, okay? If there was a fly flitting around, we'd be in trouble. I'd be in trouble. Great cloud of witnesses. So, please remember, there are witnesses. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, everything we do is being seen. Everything we do to encourage us. Because actually what Paul is referring to is the Olympic Games and running the race with perseverance. And we're going to see that. He literally, this cloud of witnesses is not something to intimidate or think negatively, but to encourage us and to spur us on. Because this whole passage, he's kind of referring to the Olympic Games. And how that, you know, people go along the side and cheer people along and offer them water and all that kind of stuff. That's what he's talking about. He's referring to that type of thing. So let us run with perseverance. Let's go, because there's people cheering us on. Is Jesus cheering us on? Man, he's at the right hand of the Father right now. Right now, he's making intercession for us. He's defending us. Every time I do something stupid and Satan is right there saying, you see what he did? Jesus is there. No, he's mine. He's mine. He's defending me. We have this great cloud of witnesses. Even if it is only the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we have this great cloud of witnesses that are saying, for you ladies, you go, girl. For us guys, attaboy. So let's be encouraged. Let's be encouraged. And now this next thing. Throw off, and by the way, in your notes, it may be spelled wrong that way because I spelled it wrong and someone caught it and sent me. So it's right here, but it's probably wrong in your sermon notes. And thank you for letting me know that I spelled it wrong. Throw off everything that hinders. Now remember, in the original Olympic Games, what did they wear when they ran? Anyone know? I saw a show one time, there was a historical documentary on it. They were studying the Olympic Games. What did they wear? Nothing. Nothing. I would not compete. I'm of the opinion that 99.99% of us look better with clothes on. I know a preacher's not supposed to say that. Throw off everything that hinders. Again, Paul is alluding to like the Olympic Games. They wore nothing to hinder. They took everything off. Now, please hear me. I'm going to meddle a little bit here. Here's a theory I have. Jeff could be wrong. Everyone's entitled to a wrong opinion beginning with me. I could be wrong. But I believe that every single wonderful gift that God gives to us can eventually become a hindrance. Jesus himself said in Luke 14, I believe verse 26 and 27, he says, and I used this verse one time in the hospital. Guy was on life support. He had one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel. And the son-in-law asked me to go visit him, and I knew that this guy worshiped golf. He played golf every single day of his life. And golf was more important than anything. And so I said, he knew I was a pastor. I went in. He could talk. You know, he had all these tubes everywhere, but he could still talk. And I said, so, what's going on? And he said, oh, preacher, I'm good. I prayed to receive Jesus Christ when I was a teenager, and it's all good. I said, really? What's the priority in your life? And he said, golf, family, and God. And then he chuckled. And he said, actually, God, and then family and golf. I said, no, you were right the first time. And some of his veins started popping out a little bit. And he said, what right do you have to tell me that? And I said, can I read a scripture to you? And I turned to Luke 14. And it basically says, unless you hate father, mother, wife, sister, brother, everyone, compared to me, you're not worthy of me. He said, it does not say that. I said, here, read it yourself, dude. You see, what Jesus was saying, that our love for God must be so pure and so intense that our love for all these other blessings and things looks like hate in comparison. And there are times that I've got to admit it, at least, especially now that Lynette is gone, I look back because she's with the Lord in heaven, and I look back and the Holy Spirit is the number one gift from us. Number two, I believe, is your spouse. If you don't believe that, please meet with me afterward and I will dope slap you, okay? Your spouse is your special, special gift from God. Apart from the Holy Spirit, I believe that with all my heart. At least mine was. But I look back and I think, wow, there were times that I put Lynette even above God. And God knew that. He risked that. He loved me so much that he would give me these wonderful gifts, knowing that they might become an idol to me. And an idol is simply something that we place greater value on than we place on God. Idolatry is simply spiritual adultery. Everyone get that? It's what it is. Every time we choose something else rather than our intimacy with God, we're committing idolatry or spiritual adultery. That's what he's talking about. Throw off everything that hinders. See, blessings can hinder us and they're given to us from God, but if we look at them and focus on them more than God, it can become a hindrance. That's why in the Olympic Games, they took everything off and ran. Are you with me? And you might say, Jeff, you're exaggerating. Well, then why does he say, and the sin? Why does it say, and the sin? Everything that hinders, and the sin. Because the reality is, good things are often the enemy of the best. It's not biblical, but I think it's true. I don't know who first said it. But I know my mentors used to drill me with it. Jeff, remember, the good is the enemy of the best. All these good things are given to us, and they can distract us and pull us away from the best thing, walking in intimacy with God, loving Him, and being in intimacy with Him. Now, good things aren't bad. They're not bad, but they can become an idol. They can be something that hinders us. Moms, how often do you become more child-focused than you are God-focused? Guys, how often is it getting that fish or getting that deer more important than God? If we're really honest, I'm telling you, is hunting good? Yes. Is killing things good? Yes. Every once in a while, guys just got to go kill something, even if it's a piece of paper. I got to be careful why I say that. I said one time in a group of people, and oh man, did I lay an egg that day. Now I say every once in a while, you just got to turn money into noise. Bang, bang, money into noise. Okay? But why did he say? He said this. These are quotes. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin. See, I believe with all my heart, at least in my life, if the enemy can't get me stuck in sin, he gets me busy with a whole bunch of good things. And it distracts me from the best thing. And that's what Paul's saying here. And the sin. And then he goes on. Let us run with perseverance. Let us run with perseverance. I don't know about you, but I can't run anywhere anymore. I'll run across the parking lot if you're in deep need, but man, that's about it. My knees give out and I'm looking for another lung and good googa mooga. It's pitiful. But we're running a spiritual race. Let us run with perseverance. Why does it say perseverance? Because it ain't easy. It's not easy. In fact, I believe the Christian life is not hard. It is. It's impossible. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, I go away because it's for your benefit, because if I go, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And then all these promises in the New Testament that he will empower us, he will teach us, he will bring to our remembrance, he will do all of these things in our lives supernaturally. I believe that Jesus and the Holy Spirit want to abide in us and then flow through us. And that's what other people, when they see God in us, that's what they see. They see the Holy Spirit and Jesus in us. And then him flowing through us. Because it is, I hate this. When I was an athlete and semi at best, I was a sprinter. I was not a long distance runner. I despised it. I hated it. The longest I ever wanted was the 440, and I never wanted that either. And after every 440, I was on the indoor relay team. Mile and a half mile relay team. We won counties, went to states. They went to states. I didn't. But every time I ran that race, I lost my cookies every single time. I despised it. I despised long distance. I wasn't made for long distance. I'm a sprinter. And then I read a guy named Lohr who trained athletes, and he said, hey, some of us aren't made to be long distance runners. It's sprint, rest, sprint, rest, sprint, rest, sprint, rest. And that made so much sense to me. Sprint, then rest. Sprint, then rest. Because I'm not a long runner. But I'm telling you, the Christian life, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's all of your life. It's all of your life. And yes, I live it more like sprint, rest, sprint, rest, sprint, rest. That's me personally. Some of you are long distance runners. You're crazy. More power to you, okay? I'm actually envious. I can't do it. Some of you can run and run and run, and I'm like, good grief, the Energizer Bunny. Got to be kidding me. More power to you, more power to you. The Christian life is not, it's about a lifetime of seeking the Lord. It's a lifetime of loving him. It's not just here, now, and then gone. No, it's a lifetime of it. Run it with perseverance. Remember, he's talking about Olympic athletes that are running 26 miles. I'll do 26 miles. I get tired on my motorcycle after 26 miles. I'm ready for a rest after that. My butt can only take so much. Which I remember in my sermon class, he said, always remember, you can only take in one end what you can endure on the other end. A lot of truth to that. Let us run with perseverance, and then the race marked out for us. Jesus has marked out the race for us. Loving God and loving others. In a nutshell, that covers all the law and the prophets, everything. Loving God and loving others. The race has been marked out for us. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Jesus did all these things. It's been marked out for us. Now we can disagree, hey, let's do more of this or more of that, but the reality is, it's been marked out for us. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Can we even name our neighbors? Can we? Are we praying for them? The race has been marked out for us. And now, the big question. I probably should have had this underlined and in a different color too. How does this happen? How do we do this? Well, we're told. The next verse says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Let's look to Jesus. Jesus is our role model. We're back in Sunday school class. You know, I don't know about you, but I grew up in Sunday school class. I had learning disabilities. And if I was ever called on, I knew what to say. Jesus. Hey, 75% of the time, you were right. Jesus. Jesus, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Jesus. And then I love, 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 love. And yeah, we're going kind of quick because we're going to do the congregational meeting. And I believe in just putting it all together. And I believe in the best way to catch fish is shoot them in a barrel. So while I got you guys here, we're going to do the congregation meeting. That's in just a few minutes. So this to me is so, so, so important. So, so, so important. The author, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, I know Scripture says, work out your faith with fear and trembling. That's one passage. And it's talking about do what Jesus did. That passage in Philippians basically says, do what Jesus did. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He emptied himself. Do what Jesus did. Well, who is perfecting us? Who's the one doing all the work? He's the author and perfecter of our faith. In Romans 8, it says, those whom he foreknew, he predestined that they be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many. Who's doing the work in us? He is. He is. You might notice that I sit down during worship because I can't make it the whole time. Standing up that long on my knee. I know when I'm in the woods, but I try and sit down in the woods too. Okay? I can't stand that long. It hurts my knee, and I need to be able to preach. And by the way, I got a testimony. I got to share this. I know it's not off topic a little bit. I went to bed last night with a backache. Man, it hurt bad. And I woke up at like 2 o'clock and it was even worse. It was so tight. You know, turning in bed, I'm like, oh my goodness. I just plead, Lord, please. I got to preach tomorrow. Please. 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 I just pleaded, prayed to him. Please. Please do something. Woke up 2 hours later. I didn't have any more pain. Now, it's still stiff and that, but hey, no pain. Now, some of you are thinking, no brain, no pain. I understand. Okay, but I'm telling you, last night, God touched me and did something so that I could deliver this message, so that he could deliver it through me to you. You see, it's God. It's God at work in us and through us. On your own, how you doing? Let me just ask that question. On your own, as you try and get better and do the right thing, how you doing? How's that working for you? If you're like me, it doesn't work real good. It works a little bit, but then you fall flat on your face. Any amens? Come on. You see, that the Jesus is the author and perfecter, and it can be the completer. The word here used means perfect or complete. Jesus is the one that does it in us. But we need to surrender. As I said, I sit down here, and after a while I sit down, and you'll see me. I'll have my hands up. There's two reasons why I lift my hands. The first one is I'm saying to God, I surrender all. I surrender all. And I'll say, I surrender body, soul, spirit, intellect, will, every part of me, I surrender all. Most of the time when you see me raising my hands as we're worshiping, surrender. And also when I surrender, what does that imply? I'm giving you full access. Come. Come, all of me. I'm not resisting in any way. Come and frisk me. Come and pat me down. Come and fill me with yourself. And then I'll just turn my hands this way and say, Holy Spirit, come. Come. Come, because I want you. I need you. I desperately need you. These people desperately need a message from you, not from Jeff. Desperately. You know, our prayer every week is that you encounter God in this place. I know that's the heart of the worship team. They practice and they do all that. They don't do it to sound good. They do it to help us to come into the presence of God. Because it's God that changes us. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. And now you're glad I'm up here because the spit still, when I get excited, it just comes out, okay? Just comes out. So the author and perfecter of our faith. If you're tired, good. If you're tired of self-improvement, good. Jesus, I need you. Please help. If you're tired, it's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. If you're ready to give up, it's a good place to be. And just say, Jesus, please, 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 please help me. Last night, my back hurt so bad, just rolling over. I'm like, oh man, it hurts to breathe. Jesus, please, please. And he did something. He did something cool. I don't know what he did, but it doesn't hurt, so I'm happy. He may not have touched me. He may have wanted me to be hobbling. But last night, by his grace, he touched. If you're tired of trying and trying and trying, please give up. And just say, Jesus, come. Please help me. It's a good place to be. It's an honest place to be. Because according to this passage and so many others, it is God that is at work in us and through us to do his good will for his glory. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. And now it kind of switches gears. For the joy set before him, and again, joy, the candle of joy. Jesus endured beating, all kinds of stuff. Why? For us. The joy that he knew that he would have walking in intimacy with us. He did all of that, who for the joy set before him endured suffering, shame, opposition. Jesus endured that. He looked at it, considered it joy to die on that cross. I don't even watch the Passion because I know I'll get sick and throw up and faint just watching it. If you think I'm exaggerating, just come and cut me afterward and watch what happens. Boom. He did all of that knowing, looking forward to the joy of intimacy with us, looking forward to the joy of knowing every one of us, looking forward to spending eternity with us. He did all of that and to please the Father. Jesus never did anything for himself. He did it always for others, to please the Father and for our benefit. Amen? And then he goes on and says, later on, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, tough stuff's going to happen to us. It's going to get tougher and tougher in this world. Our culture despises Jesus and Christianity. In fact, they're doing everything they can to totally eradicate it. Amen? Everything. They think that a society without faith, without Jesus, is a good society. Boy, all they have to do is look back over the last 50, 75 years and see how that works. Russia, Germany, the killing fields. That's what happens without Jesus. They tried to stomp out Jesus and replace it with no faith. And by the way, The more they try to stomp out Jesus, the greater it grows. You know, in communist China right now, there are more believers in communist China than all the world put together. Because people have seen the lies of that and are seeking God. And they're finding him. We're not even allowed to talk about it, and I won't get into the specifics, but leaders in China have come to the alliance, and we've sent people over for leadership development all under the radar. They ship them out to other countries so they can have classes and stuff. There's millions who are following Jesus Christ, even at the point of being persecuted and death and imprisonment. In fact, I would be a wimpy pastor there because I've never spent any time in jail yet. You're not a really good pastor until you spend some time in jail. I know I'm wimpy, but I never thought about that standard. But I've met some of them, and they've said that. We don't fear communism. We fear the materialism of the United States and the West. We don't fear death. We fear what's happening to you guys. You're being lulled to sleep. That's what they've told me. See, Jesus did all of this so that we wouldn't grow weary and lose heart. Because let's be honest, when something bad happens to us, we think, gee, we have a pity party usually, don't we? Why me? Why me? Why me? Well, why not me? If Christ can be glorified through me, amen, praise the Lord. Joy. Joy. Jesus did all of that so that we might experience one of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy. See, happiness, Christmas morning is going to be happiness. You open those gifts, this is going to be happiness. By the way, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. What I don't know what's in here. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I know Pastor Trevor and his family is saying thank you, thank you, thank you. Carolyn is, Tanya is. We, the staff, are saying thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's happiness. It comes and goes. Happiness does. Joy, you can't take it away if it's God's joy. Circumstances doesn't matter. Those believers in China and other places around the world that are being persecuted, they know the best day of their life is the day that they die because they know where they're going to be. They're going to join the 24 elders in that great heavenly host and declare, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I'm feeling ornery right now. I don't know if there's going to be golf courses or hunting up there. Okay, guys, sorry. When I was younger, I used to think, man, what am I going to do in heaven? Man, I don't sing. I make a joyful noise, but I'm not a singer. Now, all I look forward to is joining that great heavenly host and declaring praises and worshiping him. I used to wonder, are they going to have flat track motorcycle races up there? Nope, I don't think so. There might be, I don't know. But I'm not interested in that anymore. I just want to be with Jesus. I just want to be worshiping and thanking him for all that he did for me. And the best day of my life. And it won't be to meet Lynette and my dad and the others. It'll be to meet Jesus. The day I die is the best day of my life. Not to meet family and friends, to meet Jesus. So, let us throw off everything that hinders. And some of that is good stuff. So that we can run, and the sin. So that we can run with perseverance. And where are we running to? We're running into Jesus' arms. We're just running into Jesus' arms. And that might look a little bit different for every one of us. Who for the joy set before him, so that we could have a joy that can't be taken away. So I guess my question this morning is, what are the things that might be hindering you? You know the sin. You know the sin that's obvious. You know the sin that's got you stuck. It's the other things. See, those boys ripped their clothes off and just ran. They were crazy. And I don't care if the world tells me that I'm crazy because I'm pursuing Jesus. I don't care. They think I'm crazy already. It's okay. They think we're different. That's okay. As long as we're different in pursuit of Him, loving Him, seeking Him. So what are the things that are hindering us from even deeper intimacy with Him? And again, my approach is, please, have mercy upon me. Just like this morning, I didn't know what to do. Wow, Dad, this really hurts even to breathe. Please. He did something. I don't know how He did it. He did it. A good place to start. If you're fed up with self-help, if you're tired of trying and trying and trying, I'm just telling you, that's a good place to be. Because now there's just one place to look. To look up and say, have mercy on me, please. Please come and meet me. Come. And I'm not talking about, it might be for salvation for some here. But for others of us, it's beyond salvation. It's that deeper walk with Him. It's that greater intimacy. It's just, please come. Please come. And I pray it every day. I pray it every day, especially on Sunday. Twice on Sunday. Because I hope you're not looking at me, but I'm here like this, and then I'm like this. I'm here, and then here. Here and here. Here and here. Complete surrender, full access. Please come. Please come. Please put Jeff to death. Because they need you, not Jeff. So I'm going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to switch gears and transition. But please, and there's going to be some silence in the prayer. I know some might be uncomfortable with that, but I just want time for the Holy Spirit to speak to every one of us. What are some of those things? And they might be good things. They probably are good things that are hindering you from a deeper intimacy with Him. Only He knows. But let's just create some time and space and quietness so that He could speak to us. Okay? Even if it's not okay, that's where we're going. Let's pray. Dear Dad in heaven, I praise and thank You for how You touched my body, my back. Didn't have to, but You did out of love, and I thank You for it. And as we've looked at this passage, just phrase by phrase by phrase, and there's so much more there, so much more there. The things. Let us throw off everything that hinders. And I know in my life, that's been some good things. Actually been some gifts from You that I've focused so much on the gift that I neglected the giver. Publicly, I ask forgiveness for that. Holy Spirit, maybe for some of us this is all new, and today is the day to pray to receive Jesus. It's all it is. Jesus, please have mercy on me, a sinner. I need You. That's all that's needed. And for those of us who are already born again, born from above, Jesus, we need You. Please reveal anything that's hindering us and the sin, so that we can run to You. We can run the race marked out for us. Please. And now, Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit, we just have a little bit of silent time for You to speak.